Spirit who are torn apart. Blessed are the persecuted and the pure in heart. Blessed are the people hungry for another start. For theirs is the kingdom, the kingdom of God. And all the people said amen. Whoa, and all the people said amen.
You know, sometimes you experience something in life that causes you to want to see things differently. You know, what could be or what should be. And it's that that kind of creates a vision in your mind of what could happen. You know, you look and you see a less than situation. And you just kind of say, you know, that's not right. It shouldn't be this way. And maybe even it stirs a sense of restlessness within you. That's how movements begin. That's how ministries begin. That's sometimes how even businesses get started. Something's just not right. Something could be done differently or seen differently, and it kickstarts something. I love this picture of Trinity. That's kind of how it looked when I first came here many years ago. But it was hearts that moved to start this ministry way back in the mid-1960s. Hearts were moved for bringing the gospel to new families that were settling in Anaheim Hills. And then as the church grew and the school grew and everything, as you know, that's not the way it looks anymore. And that's because, again, as God continued to work and move and expand ministry, things changed. But it had a starting point. And again, God just faithfully worked in the lives and hearts of people, and things just kept taking place year after year. Kind of reminds me, you know, this is National Lutheran Schools Week. And historically, Lutherans have always had a heart for education and kids. Within the Lutheran School Association that we're a part of, nationwide, there's over 1,800 schools, over 21,000 teachers, over 35 different districts, over 200,000 kids, students, in these various school ministries. It's an awesome thing to be a part of, and to think again how God has worked so faithfully through the schools that we have had here at Trinity. God works. I also think of other things. You know, this is the beginning of National Lutheran Schools Week. We also recognize something in our nation today is, you know, Right to Life Sunday. Just a couple days ago, once again, it was the 49th annual National March for Life in Washington, D.C. Thousands of people came, in a sense, to say, we want to stand for the rights of the unborn children. Thousands gathered, thousands prayed, seeking God to continue working in the hearts and lives of people. There are different choices that can be made than having an abortion. Stand up for the life of the unborn. Hearts moved. Ministries begin. But you see, everyone is different. Everyone's hearts resonate with different things. Done this with people before, but just a couple years ago, I was with some high school students. We were doing some work in inner city Houston for a week. And I remember one of our mornings for devotion, we had a great time. We basically went around the table, and I basically said, all right, I gave them all the same question. If money were not an issue, where you're at right now in your life, where your heart's at, what would you want to be a part of by way of a ministry or an organization or something to make a difference? If money wasn't an issue, and you just went with where God has your heart right now. And it was interesting, student after student after student, to hear just how they saw the world and saw certain needs and their own giftings and talents and, you know, wouldn't it be great if this? That's how it all works. Everyone's different. Everyone's hearts resonate. My heart's always been with just leading groups into service opportunities to serve other people. But that's kind of where all these readings are at today, too, and the readings for today and our lessons. Nehemiah saw a broken down wall that surrounded Jerusalem. Paul saw people who didn't see their need for being a part of a local church or didn't understand their identity. They didn't understand their purpose. Jesus saw people who, in a sense, were separated from God and broken from the things of life. See, a moved heart moves. And that's kind of the point. A moved heart moves. Thinking about Nehemiah, why get concerned about a wall when you look at the kind of the context of that book? Because it had been broken down. It represented a lack of security. And it wasn't just their own physical security as a people, but it also was their spiritual security of a people. The wall had been broken down, had been neglected for years, and the same thing was true of their spiritual lives. And so the rebuilding of the wall would serve as a very important purpose, that it would also bring the people together so God could work in their hearts. And after that wall was finished, in a record time, with all the problems that they had, the people gathered. And as the reading goes today, Ezra the priest, he brought forth the scriptures and he opened to it and he said he read the scriptures and a revival began among the people. The word was read, it was taught, the people listened attentively, it was explained so they could understand what was being read. The people just spontaneously broke out in worship of God. The people were broken, they repented, they applied what they had learned. Leaders took on new roles of leadership. But it began when people's hearts were moved from what they had experienced. And you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you come to see Paul's concern about how people saw themselves. He says, we weren't created to be in isolation. We were created to be connected with other people and to do life together. We don't need, the people who say, well, I don't need other people to do what I need to do. Some people are more important than other people. Paul comes in to correct that. To understand what's going on here, what we have is we need to kind of take a couple steps back and look at a broader perspective. And it begins with this idea that God is moved. God is moved. This is because of what God sees through his eyes and what that does for his heart. God has a ministry plan for the world. And he sees people and where these people are at, and he knows that they need to be reached and touched and healed and held. He knows that they will spend eternity apart from him unless something happens. And he wants them to know what he did for them to reverse that. He wants to come to bring them life. Paul is saying makes sense in connection with the gospel lesson, with that reading from Luke chapter 4, particularly those words that as Jesus took the reading for that day and he read it, and it says why this Messiah was to come, because God wants the gospel, his favor, to come to people. People who are spiritually lost, emotionally wounded, hurting, enslaved by guilt and fear and worry. People just need to be rescued and healed, set free. See, God is moved. God is moved and Jesus responds. God the Father sent his son Jesus into the world to set people free. So he brought spiritual and physical and emotional healing and health. And you know what? The life of Jesus is still being manifested. Now, we all know that Jesus physically, bodily, is not still here on planet Earth. But he's still here. He's here through his corporate body that we refer to as the church. And now his work continues and is done through us. See, God is moved, Jesus responds, and we continue. And we do it as a joint effort and something done together. The last statement there in the New Testament reading from 1 Corinthians 12:27, where he says, now you are the body of Christ. Now it's you. Christ lives in you, works through you, and corporately, now you are the presence of Christ in the world. Christ is ahead, but the church is here to reveal or make Christ known, to make visible the invisible Christ. So we're all a part of this body of Christ. God has opened our eyes through the Spirit working through the Word, helping our eyes so that we can see Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, to help us to see that we truly are children of God through faith in Christ. And it's in this faith that we are united, we come together. See, a human body is formed by the extension of the one original cell that just kind of keeps growing until it becomes a mature body. And then every cell then shares in that original life. All parts share life together. And in a sense, you could say that nothing comes close to what the church can be and what it can do and what it can offer. I was called to be a part of the body of Christ, and every single one of you were too. I've always come to see that the church is a gift given to me in my life. The gift of the church is an amazing thing. And by the word church, I mean the body of Christ. Because it was within the church, I was told who I am. And I got an identity, it identified me as a believer. You know, when my parents brought me to When my parents took me to Central Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington, when I was a little child for baptism, Jesus' name was put on me. And I was now seen as a child of God, part of the family of God. And then as time went on, by being a part of that community, that that faith group, I was told a great story. In my context, every week I was taken to Sunday school, and week after week I heard stories of God's faithfulness, and I heard the names of all these people that God had worked through throughout the times of the Scriptures. I learned about people of faith and people who were not of faith. I learned about Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection. I learned what Jesus ultimately had done for me. I heard a great story. And in that gift of the church, that body of Christ, I was able to find some amazing friends. I always met friends throughout, but some of the best of them back in May of 1977. I was a sophomore at high school and got to meet so many cool people on a retreat that would then kind of spread out. And the neat thing about those Christian friends that I met in my church and in the youth group there, they were people who really wanted to know Christ and to grow in that faith. And there were adults in the church that I didn't necessarily hang out with per se, but the adults in the church spoke into my life and they encouraged me. And they were people that I looked up to as I watched them, you know, learn and grow and worship and serve. And you just watch that kind of stuff as you grow up and you say, that's important. I found family. You know, all my family, my biological family, I guess you say, was up in Washington State. But when I came to California, I knew the pastor of this church at the time and his family, but didn't really know anyone else. It's always cool. I always remember it very fondly. I still have the memory in my mind. It was July 4th, 1984, when I first arrived here. And one of the first families I met here at church were the Smestead family. And it was, I went over to the house of, there was Rich and Carol and Steve and Susan, and it was 4th of July, and there was a whole bunch of people that were kind of my age, kind of that college age group that were together that night. I met some really special people that would come a part of my life, and it kept growing and growing, and so Trinity, in a sense, became my family. Because my other family was far north, but this was a place that I could get to know people. One of the greatest gifts I found at Trinity was my wife. And, you know, sometimes it happens where people, they get to know a certain person that's special in their life, and it was a blessing to be able to get to know Amy and her family, and sometimes it happens at church. But here's the thing. We are called to belong, not just believe. We're called to belong, not just believe. Because you're not a part of the body of Christ by yourself. And that's kind of the idea there, right? In 1 Corinthians 12. You need others to express that concept. Paul writes in Ephesians, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but now you're kind of fellow citizens of this new community. He writes in Romans, in Christ we who are many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. There's a connectedness. We're called not just to believe, but also to belong. And so in that gift of the church, I found and continue to find support and encouragement. There's a lot of transitions that happen in life. You know, so Amy and I got married and, you know, we had kids. But what a cool thing it is when you're new parents and you get to know other parents too that maybe have kids as well. And you kind of do life together. You raise your kids together. You see each other at church or at events. And you know that it's not easy sometimes being a parent, but you're in that together. And you support one another in that. Still have this great picture of when our oldest kid was still in his car seat, and there were three or four other kids at church here also at that same age. And one day, I think it was in the nursery, we lined all four of the car seats up together. They were all, people just grew up together in the church. It was cool to see that on Sunday mornings like that. But ultimately, it's a place where you just kind of find that this is where I can do life with others. We have our friends and other people outside of Trinity, and I know you do too. But there's something about having those connections of people of faith that just kind of understand maybe the things that we go through in a normal week or in life or some of the things that go on, because you resonate with people who are also share that faith with you. And the support and the encouragement along the way. We've all experienced death and transitions in life. And at times, like when my dad or my mom passed away or other things happened in our life, there's other people who have gone through similar things, and you're just there for one another. You commit yourself to each other. I like what Paul says in Galatians 6, says, carry each other's burdens. And then in Hebrews, let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds, encourage one another. Something happens within the gift of this place called the body of Christ. I love Bible study times, and particularly some of the smaller groups that I meet with people. And every single time, I look forward to it because of what I get to learn from other people. Insights that I never saw, that I never recognized before. Someone brings up, that's an amazing point. The other thing is, it gives me a place to discover and use my gifts to serve others. As it says there in Corinthians, God has given to each one a gift is given for the common good, not for my benefits, for the benefit of other people. And we come and we understand our giftedness and what we have that we can share with others for their benefit, for their growth, and not just here, but outside of here as well. Being a part of a local church, there's spiritual protection and accountability. It keeps us on track. In Hebrews, it talks about particularly spiritual leaders. It says, they keep watch over you as men who must give account. Or guard yourself and all the flock, be shepherds of the church of God. God puts people in place, in a sense, to kind of keep us accountable, to look after us, and also to grow. And also it enables me to share in Christ's mission in the world. Again, the body of Christ is God's instrument in this world. The church body of Christ, where God's heart is because he knows the needs of this world and what, you know, we are to be together. You know, Trinity, you say, you know, we are the, you know, we desire to have and to have that, the heart, the mind, the hands, and the feet of Christ. That's why kind of our mission statement is, you know, loving, growing, serving, and reaching together, but for the blessing of the world, for the blessing of others. I think there's a mutual concern for the where things are at today in our world. And particularly because of the whole pandemic thing that just kind of amplified that was already happening, people are drifting. People are getting disconnected. People seem to be further away from the church. And the further people get disconnected or further away or think that they can do it on their own, also what happens is it affects other things in their life. And I mentioned that last week, where the things that we get from being a part of a community of faith, you know, maybe we start suffering, you know, in other ways, and it hurts us maybe spiritually or emotionally, or things happen that would have been helped if we were part of a community. The beautiful thing is every single one of us in here today, we all have our hearts that focus on different things. But I think the one thing is true. We all need the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs you. Because in a sense, it's what we get here, what happens here as we corporately come together and we understand our need for a Savior and we come and we confess our sins and we receive that forgiveness and we understand that God's with us and gives us what we need for our journey. What we get here enables us to do what we do out there through our gifts and our talents. What happens here enables what to happen out there in an effective way. See, a moved heart moves. And as you are moved by Christ's love for you, and maybe as your heart is moved in some way this week for something or someone, I pray that God would equip and come alongside of you in the way that you need it most so that he can flow and work through you in a beautiful way. And it doesn't have to be some huge, big, miraculous thing, just the everyday common things of life. But if we just position ourselves in life, I just pray that God would, in a beautiful way, let his love flow through you this week. You are his presence in the world in a very special way. A moved heart moves, and our heart is moved when we understand what God has done for us in Christ. It's a beautiful thing. Pray that he use you in a special way this week. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.